Well, as we look at our texts this morning, there's a theme running through many of them, of course, and that's the theme of Jesus as shepherd. And it goes all the way from our responsive psalm, Psalm 23, perhaps the most familiar psalm in all of Scripture. There are all kinds of people who are at least aware of sort of how it hangs together. Some who don't even know that it comes out of the Bible, or the Christian Bible, or the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures, if you will. And why does it have that kind of connection? And I think it has that kind of connection because even if we really don't have much of an idea of what sheep are like or what shepherds are like, we can pick up on those metaphors of being cared for, whether we've ever seen a sheep up close or not, whether we know any shepherds or not. Because if there's something that I think all of us want, it's to be cared for. I remember long ago when my mother was still alive and I was talking to her about this young lady I was interested in and was sort of just talking in general things because, well, this is the way it is, not taking too long because it was long distance. This is in the 80s when long distance actually meant something as opposed to now where you Skype in or FaceTime in and you can talk forever as far as I can tell. And I was talking to my mom about this woman who I liked quite a lot and found attractive, and she, for some reason, seemed to like me. And I was asking, how do you know? And she said, well, you don't know. You never know. You can't know until things actually are there. It doesn't work that way. But she said, the question to ask, as much as anything, is, does she care for you? And will she care for you? And that's stayed with me ever since. Because of all the things that make us human, a lot of the things that we first notice come and go. Hair, as we all know, comes and goes. For some of us, it's almost gone. Looks change with time. Our sizes go both up and down, in and out, depending on all kinds of things. But who we are, how we behave, those fundamental things about us, lots of those seem to be there forever. And someone who cares for us is a wonderful person to find. Not someone who thinks we're good looking, although that's nice. It's always nice when somebody says you're good looking or distinguished, although you realize that at some level, for men, when they tell you you're distinguished, it's because they're desperately finding something nice to say about you. Distinguished usually means old and gray, but I'll take it. It's nice to hear that. It's nice to be told you're smart. It's nice to be told you're athletic or whatever it might be. But it's nicer still to be cared for. And I'm not talking about just when you're sick, when somebody will bring you the soup that you want or whatever else it might be. I knew, because of course the young woman I was talking about was Heather, I knew I had a keeper when we both lived in residence, different residences of course, there's a Bible college, there's men, women, all separated, that kind of stuff, and I was feeling quite unwell. And as I began to recover and was feeling a little bit better, I asked Heather if she would go and get me Kentucky Fried Chicken and Pepsi. And instead of saying, you're crazy, no, she did. And I thought, here's somebody who's willing to care for me, even in spite of what seems like foolishness. For whatever reason, I went through a spell where that's what I wanted when I was getting better, and it seemed to help. I don't recommend it for anyone. I just say that was my life at that time. And she did. And why? Because she cared for me. She cared about me, and she was willing to care for me as well. And I think in a very real sense, that's been one of the things that has really held us together through 28 years of ups and downs. It's impossible to have a life free of difficulty. I've never heard of anyone who had one. Having someone who will be with you through those ups and downs, through the indescribable joy of children, to the indescribable, what do I do now with children? To have someone who will care for you and with you in the midst of that is a wonderful thing. And as I look at these texts, the question I ask is, are we cared for? And when I'm asking the question, it's not about where we are in our interpersonal relationships, and I hope you all are. I hope you have someone who does care for you. And I hope you have someone for whom you can care, because the two-way caring makes it so much stronger and so much better. But the bigger question is, when we think of God, are we cared for? Is God just this, as some people suggest, who barely believe in God at all, this sort of cosmic clockmaker who started going and then just walked away and will show up at some point and we're kind of on our own? Or is there more to it than that? Psalm 23, among many other passages of Scripture, including the ones we read that were read for us today, suggests that it's more than that. It's more than God simply over there watching us with benign disinterest. Because what does Psalm 23 tell us? Well, it tells us lots of things. And it's all in metaphorical language, of course, so we have to pay attention to what's being meant, not just what's being said. And we're reminded that it's the Lord is our shepherd, and that through that shepherding, we're cared for. I shall not want. I won't be out of the things that I need. God makes us lie down in green pastures, which sounds terrible to me because I'd rather be inside than outside most things. But it's the metaphor. In my case, he makes me lie down with a good book. Is a better indicator of how much that can mean. He leads me beside still waters, by places of calm, and he restores my soul. We look at these things and we hear these images of calm and goodness, of pleasantness, and we think, well, that's lovely. But that's not my life. Not all of it. I've had all kinds of wonderfully calm moments in my life. The first time you see an ocean, the first time you see that just mass of water spread out in front of you with the sun hopefully rising or setting or something, and your heart is lifted in this moment of stillness. It's just amazing. But that's not all that life is. And we move on to verse 4. If it ended at verse 3, I'm not sure I'd like this psalm as much. But verse 4 demonstrates that no, this is a God who knows who we really are. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And we're comforted by what is brought, your rod and your staff. That's for sheep. We don't need those, but we're brought comfort. And the thing that I come back to over and over again in verse 4 is it doesn't say that maybe someday, if you ever walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says no, even though I walk there, because we do. This week in particular, it's inescapable for members of this community that the valley of the shadow of death is real. And it's terrible. And it doesn't say that you'll be plucked from it and it will be as if nothing went wrong. It says that in the midst of that, I will fear no evil. But it says that even in the midst of the absolute worst, there is a God who is still with us and who still cares for us. But what does that mean? When I was on my internship as part of my undergraduate degree in theology, you need to go and you're parked in a church where you were hopefully somewhat useful for at least 3 or 4 months. And in my case, I was there for a year. And I remember saying at the conclusion of the year that I said, I wonder if this is going to be the pattern of my ministry, because in a year, I helped out at one wedding and 8 funerals. And I thought, is this what it's always going to be? And it hasn't been. But I'm glad I had that introduction at that point, if I needed one, to the reality that this is a fallen world in which we live, and that it comes to an end. this part does. And that even in the midst of that, we are cared for. We're cared for not just through the kindness of the people around us, although that is such an important part. We're cared for not just in the realization that we're not alone, even at the worst parts, worst moments of our lives. We're cared for because God has said, I will be with you. One of the things that I've noticed over the years in my own life and in the life of others is something that can only be described as comfort. Sometimes in Scripture, the peace that passes all understanding. And there are times in the midst of our struggle with the life that we have that we will have these moments of transcendent comfort and peace. We don't know where they come from. We can't look at it and say, that person said this thing to me that made such a difference. It's something more than that. And I realize that what that is that's God. God who didn't just set this in motion and walk away, but a God who loved us so much that he sent Jesus here, his son, sent himself here in a physical sense to demonstrate how much he loved us. And that through that comes the comfort of the Holy Spirit who meets us in ways that we can't even describe to bring comfort in the midst of this and is with us. Not always in the way we want. I read that story in Acts and I think I know all kinds of people that I wish that would have happened to, including my own mother. Because how is that? How this person and not that? It doesn't always work that way. The miraculous doesn't always present itself in the ways that we want it to. But often, also, when we look back, in retrospect, what we see is the miracle of the presence of God in the midst of whatever we were going through. Not doing what we asked necessarily, but giving us what we needed. I don't do this very often, but this year for Mother's Day on Facebook, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I find it kind of depressing, but it does have some good things in there as well. And as I was looking at people talking about their mothers, I was led to post a picture of my own mother, who's been gone since 1990, and put something to the effect of, you're gone, but in a very real sense, you're not, because you're always with me. And when my mother was sick for that last time, I remember very clearly praying that, make her better. Fix all of this, because I don't like any of it. And I didn't get that prayer answered. But when I look back, what I see are these flashes of the goodness of God bringing comfort to me in a way that kept me going, in a way that helped me realize that even in the midst of a fallen world, that there's still goodness. There were moments then that I didn't feel cared for. Feelings are feelings. You can't deny the existence. Hopefully you don't run your life solely on the basis of what you feel, but ignoring them doesn't do you any good either. And I felt that I had been abandoned and ignored. But I look back now, and I see these sparks of the goodness, the glory, and the comfort of God that were given to me. Was I cared for? Yes, I was. Are we cared for? Yes, we are. It's not easy in many ways, living here in a fallen world. But I also look in Psalm 23, and I don't see a whole lot of it will be easy either. When I look through Scripture, I don't see a lot of, this will be a walk in the park. What I see is this will be an opportunity to live the full range of experiences that every human being can, but not alone. With a God who loves us with us always. The opportunity for a community of faith like this one, a community of family, a community of where you live, your friends that will be with you also. That even in the midst of those things that none of us would ever choose, we can still have that sense that we have been cared for. That we have been cared for and we will be cared for. There's no expiration date on these things that God talks about in Scripture. There's not a time when they won't work anymore. There's never a time they didn't work. But instead we see over and over again God's commitment to his people, even in the midst of those things we don't understand or perhaps even can't understand, that he will be with us, caring for us, this day and all days. Amen.